This is Liquidity Talks, a live stream and podcast series designed to share the latest trends and updates from the world of treasury, liquidity, and risk. Join us as we power up the liquidity conversation.
Hello and welcome to our latest installment of Liquidity Talks live stream and podcast. I'm Neville Roberts, I'm the CEO and founder of Planix, the market-leading fintech focused on real-time treasury, liquidity and risk. Now, our topic today is entitled Why Banks Need a New Approach to LCR. And by LCR, I'm of course talking about liquidity coverage ratio. Welcome to our audience today and a happy new year to everyone. Good morning, afternoon and evening, wherever you may be. Anyone in the audience can ask a question as we run through. If you put it on the comments section on the right-hand side, I can take these as we go, and if there's any left, I will ask them at the end and we can get back to you as well. If you have a question and you want to ask it, please let us know who you are and if you can possibly do so, your role, so we have some context. Now, today I'm joined by our guest speaker, Martin Matzko from Burning. So Martin, welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do?
Thanks a lot, Neville. Hello, everyone. So thank you very much for welcoming me at your podcast. It's very appreciated. Basically, I'm a former banker. I started my career back in 1994 in treasury departments, first as a trader, and then later I was heading treasury department for an international group in Central and Eastern Europe. And then from 2007, I'm in the consulting business. I'm running now a boutique company on education for bankers. Focus is, of course, assets and liability management, newest trends in this area, treasury, financial market products, related regulation, risk management. That's basically my main focus today.
Got it. Perfect. And as you know, Martin, I like to start the show off with a few questions about football and your team. So why don't you just talk us through who your current team is and why and what you're interested in?
Well, so I'm coming ready from Premiership. It's Liverpool, of course, because there was a Slovak player, very famous one, a defender, Martin Škrtel. But in general, I have to say that I'm more a fan of other sports like alpine skiing or cycling. As for football, I watch FC Barcelona mostly, if any matches. But I personally took part on FC Barcelona in Barcelona some years ago, so it was nice.
Perfect. Well, obviously Liverpool and Barcelona have a long history, but let's not talk about that too much. Let's get on to the subject for today, and thanks for that. So LCR, our current LCR approach is still fit for purpose. And I think, as we all know, you know, ongoing technical advancements, fintech disruption, you know, faster instant payments coming about, you know, are the standard approaches to managing bank liquidity sufficient today? And the regulators and banks alike, they're starting to reassess what needs to be done in cases of sudden crisis. So let's start off today by doing some scene setting and contextualizing as we usually do. And in your view, what is meant in this broadest terms by liquidity management, LCR, and what are the key elements of it?
Indeed, you are right. So liquidity is becoming a core topic again. Well, so officially, to define the liquidity management is the role for treasury department, for ALM department of a bank, to ensure that the bank meets its short-term obligations without compromising the long-term viability. This is official. But nowadays, I would probably focus on the short term, because in the past, the short term used to be one day, 1 month. Yeah. Nowadays, it's probably minutes. So we have to discuss this probably carefully today, what means short term liquidity management. The key managerial elements there will be, on one hand, the regulatory ones like LCR and NSFR. But I would also like to mention the intraday liquidity, which is a core subject of interest. than the stress testing. So how can we manage the stress test? How type of data do we use, and how are our contingency plans on funding? So these are the topics, the areas a bank treasury has to focus on today.
Good. So it's not just about the ratio, it's the timing of that as well. And I know we'll talk of that a little bit more soon, but it's the timing of that, the horizon for it. It's not just the ratio itself.
Well, please.
Yeah. So you mentioned LCR, look, and it's been a big focus over, you know, probably the last few years at least. And, you know, when it comes to recent events, I think some of the numbers we've heard about LCR, they've been very high, but it didn't necessarily help. So it'd be good to hear your views on, you know, why the existing methodologies out there may no longer be fit for purpose.
Well, we have to take into account that LCR was designed and introduced after the global financial crisis, which is 15 years ago. It was back in 2009. And since then, the times has been changed. We have to watch, for example, the recent events last year, where the major banks in US bankrupt. Many professionals are considering that the liquidity was the cause of the bankruptcy of Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic Bank later on. We can have some thought about also what was the primary reason, but at the very end, the liquidity was the problem. They were not able to pay all the withdrawals the customers wanted, requested. Considering LCR apart from or elements apart from LCR, we have to think about what are the assumptions of our outflows. So the question a bank has to ask themselves is how realistic it is that the deposits would be withdrawn. What is the market liquidity? So if they have space enough to monetize their assets. And namely, again, back to Silicon Valley Bank, they had enough high quality liquid assets, so enough of them, but they were not simply able to monetize it from many reasons, from technical reasons. And we have also on the other side, take into account the modern banking context. So we have currently the instant payments, we have the market volatility challenges and so on. So these are the areas we have to focus on.
Got it. And with Silicon Valley Bank, of course, it was the speed and the kind of the timing, that the role that social media played, and just how fast it all unwound. And I think timing is an important part of this equation. And I know that in a recent article that you wrote in conjunction with us, you mentioned maybe a shift to a 7-day LCR. So the timing element of that shortening. Can you expand a little bit more on this and explain why you think it may help, and talk a little bit about the regulators and how they're looking to tackle this as well?
Yeah, you are right. There are two views. One is the regulatory view and the other is the bank view, the treasurer's view. The regulatory view will be always not sufficient, I would say, not sufficient. So if you want to be safe, we need to think a little bit farther and be upfront from the regulatory purposes. So the regulators currently, they are considering a shorter LCR. The question is if it would be of any help. Okay, so we would have on the bank side, so the treasurers, they would have to align with faster liquidity shocks. They will have to probably provide the regulators with more reportings. Then we have some questions. So we have to ask here. So if this would be a Basel thing, so if it would be the Basel recommendation, or if just some jurisdiction will decide, so they will introduce a new regulatory ratio on liquidity, like there are some considerations in UK and EU now exploring the enhanced reporting intervals and so on. And what is the potential of alignments with faster payment systems in a fintech-driven liquidity changes. So the fintech companies, they are trying to make the possibilities for banks' customers to get more comfort to withdraw the money, to send the money whenever they want. So, but for the banks, it's challenging because we are speaking about seconds, milliseconds nowadays.
No, I get it. And fintechs are trying, you know, we're all trying to speed up the payment processing timing and moving to a world that is all real time. But, you know, banks, regulators have to take account of that. I know in the UK, faster payments, the amount you're allowed to pay went up to 1 million. Obviously, that can happen instantaneously. So the volume of liquidity you need to handle that is not the same as your normal day-to-day processing. So I think we're seeing those trends all over the world right now. But frankly, whether you move to a 7-day LCR or 14-day or anything else, or you keep it 30 days, you know, where do you still see the challenges?
Yeah, also I would say that the challenges are, we can split them somehow. So the operational complexity and some costs related with it's related to increased frequency of reporting, also what the regulator will require. Okay, maybe in the area of subtech or regtech or however it is called, they will probably come to another position that they will just grab into your database and they will find out. But anyway, also we have to think on a bank level also how to proceed with it, and it will cost some money. It will not be for free yet. So then the pressure on the systems. So we require the real time data. Does everybody have a real time data access? A smaller bank, for example. For the bigger ones, it is a challenge. Yeah. So they will have to. It will be probably obligatory. And they will have to invest on the bank side. And the other part is, as I mentioned already in the previous answer, the consistency across jurisdictions. Because we now observe the individual central banks doing on their own, like, for example, by the cessation of LIBOR. Yeah, so they have decided differently. You have the SOFR rate, also secured overnight financing rate. And in Europe, we have all deposits, not only from secured. So this is different and it's hardly comparable, the overnight rate. So I would be happy when they agree. If it's on this level, it will be probably.
If ever, it's probably going to take a while, isn't it?
It will take a while, yeah.
No, indeed. And, you know, we saw, you know, the crisis happened in 2008. We at Planex, we jumped onto the picture at 2013, 14. And it's still, I wouldn't call it mature yet. I think it's maturing, but it's still taking a lot of time. And, the end game's moving all the time in terms of what you want. So whereas 30-day LCR is fine, now we're, you know, talking about other timeframes. And timeframes is an important part of this. And, you know, it's been called out recently that intraday or even real time isn't really catered for. Obviously, not everything can be done instantaneously, but timing's everything. What are your thoughts in this area on timing and how should organizations think about this?
Yeah, so, I mean, We are coming slowly to the point when the real time monitoring will be a must. That's the matter of fact, because we saw in 2023, it's not no more last year, in US, that a bank bankrupts because within 2 hours tens of billions of dollars were taken from the customers, because they, first of all, can communicate over the social networks, and secondly, they will just simply use their smartphone and send the payment within seconds. So we critically need real-time monitoring. The stress case scenarios, everything shall be adjusted to this trend. And the key strategy is to have a tool for that. Yeah. So to have a tool, the consideration of a treasurer is no more on the daily interval as it used to be 20 years ago. So when I used to be the treasurer, I had no worries because I always had the central bank money, central bank standing facility available, and only the daily payments were executed. But nowadays, the situation has changed rapidly, and the collaboration between the commercial sector, the commercial banks, and the central bank in this area has to be established, because also the standing facility tools has to be or will have to be adjusted to this situation. That means if I have bonds, high liquid assets, I will have to get a tool where I can exchange it for cash immediately.
Got it. Okay. And talking of data, you know, data's everywhere. We talk to customers, prospects, and they say, I've got data literally everywhere. It should be telling me everything. But, you know, how do you think they should be thinking about and leveraging data analytics, maybe even AI, to enhance the liquidity management processes that they have?
Yeah, so we are doing several things in one time. So we, I commonly have some consultancy projects, and there we stand, start with the data. We stand always on the level when we ask the question. If they do have data, everybody will answer, we do have a database and there is everything. That's true, but the question is in which structure and how fast you can access the data. So for the purpose of current liquidity management and a proper liquidity management, as we can imagine it in the for the upcoming years, we need real-time access to the data in the structure the treasury is used to. That means the treasury ALM is interested in real-time decision-making, because if I have to ask the central bank for monetizing my portfolio, I need the data in that structure. I need to know if I'm short or long, as a matter of fact. Yeah. So the integration of the big data is a must, or will be a must. And then the automation. Yeah. So many people rely on some artificial intelligence. So it's a buzzword today. We have to take into account that AI will not do everything instead of us. So the decision making is still on the bank level. I have got several questions already. If the software we are speaking about by the implementation or by the recommendation does have an AI recommendation, well, I'm not sure if this is the most important thing. Maybe not. Maybe the fast data is even more important.
Yeah, look, we hear it's a maturity curve, right? So the very first thing is to get the data, get the right data, put it in one place, get access to it, try and make sure it's real time or as close to real time as you possibly can, you know, understand it, analyze it, interpret it, use it, and then start to move towards forecasting, so you can predict the future. And that's where AI can come in. But there's a lot of, you know, groundwork to do prior to getting there. We hear a lot about, you know, can I get a forecast? Can I have an accurate picture of the rest of the day? And the answer is yes, you can do, but you need an awful lot more prior to that. So you get all of the foundations in place for you to be able to do that. So there's a lot of work to do prior to it. But I think ultimately that is a place where we need to end up.
Yeah. So where I see the space, for AI would be probably the predictions, the forecasting, the stress testing, yeah, the forecast. That's probably the field also where we can play with.
Sure. Good. I'm just going to stop for a question. T. Julian Gladwin has asked a question, and it is, do you see banks throttling payments, which may hinder their clients in meeting financial obligations? If so, is this due to a lack of real-time reporting of payment systems?
Well, I do not have the experience like that, honestly. So I don't know. I have to answer correctly. I don't know if they are doing it. Maybe some, but most of my clients are small or mid-sized banks, and I would believe they are not doing it.
Yeah, I think we've seen instances. If you look at the roadmap we have and what we get asked for, it's in a few areas. We get the forecasting question, but we also get questions around payment control. How do I control my payments? You know, make sure I've got enough liquidity. It's aligned with the forecast I might have. And ultimately that comes down to throttling as well. So I think we're seeing a lot more of that than we've ever done in the past. But certainly that's, I think some banks are doing it. I think they're doing it with the insight they have, but obviously, you know, don't want to hinder the obligations that they have. So it's a delicate balance, I think. Good. Thanks for that question. Right. How do you, how do evolving financial regulations impact banks? So, ultimately, should we rely on the regulation and the regulators, or is there more to it than that?
Should the bank rely on regulation? There is a simple answer, and it is no.
I thought you might say that.
No, they should not there. Because, a good banker, a good asset allowance the manager would never rely on regulation. So they have to understand, but it's not sufficient. So that's the matter of fact. And, the impact is cost also for technology, for time consumption. So when a bank wants to have a good solution, they need a good manager, good experts, good professionals. So they need to invest time into education, into people, not probably rely on just on regulation that they fill in some templates and that's it. That's not enough from my point of view.
Got it. But ultimately, the answer you think is no.
It's not, yeah.
No, good. Right. We've got another question here, if I may break to it. Hugo Lagrotta. Hi, Hugo. Thanks for the question. And good to see you in the new year. Do you think AI could be helpful for simulating client behavior, the scenarios under which they will make large payments withdrawals? Interesting. Do you have a view on that?
Yeah. So here I would answer yes. AI is exactly AI could be good in this area, also in the in predicting how the people behave. That's a very good question, and I would guess yes, there is space enough for developing AI or implementing AI into assets and liability management in the banks.
Yeah, I think the closer we get to predicting what clients will do, when they do it, how they do it, the quantum of it, the more accurate it will be. Obviously, there's a fine line between how accurate you can get and the kind of machines you need to actually get there. But I think that will be a good thing to do. Thank you very much, Hugo. Sorry.
Sorry, I see the second part of the question, the scenarios under which they will make large payments. So large payments, whatever is extraordinary, which means statistically not predictable, it's complicated. It's a fatale. It's normally not captured by the methods like AI. But if you have it too frequent, maybe the AI will recommend you to have a very safe position. So it will cost again money because the bankers will be afraid to invest it into assets which are not liquid enough. Yeah,
got it. Okay. Moving on to lessons learned, right? So what lessons learned do you think we have understood from the recent liquidity crises, and how can banks apply the lessons that we've all learned to future strategies around this?
Yeah. There were many comments on the lessons learned from SVB and the other banks bankrupt in 2023. I commented a lot as well. And my lessons learned are that the primary reason of insufficient liquidity were always different. So in case of SVB, it was huge interest rate.
Yeah.
So when we say that the liquidity risk caused the bankruptcy, I am not sure if we are right. I would say the managerial decisions to open such a huge position where they were not IRBB compliant, because they were not obliged to do it in US, it was not fair, because if they would have IRBB, they wouldn't have the position like they had there. So that's the matter of fact. And then once the customers recognize that you are in trouble, then they will. So our problem now is that the reaction of the customer could be very fast, but the original reason of the bankruptcy was, in case of SVB, interest rate risk. In the case of Credit Suisse, for example, it was fraudulent behavior, fine, US and whatever, but not the liquidity itself.
Yeah, and I often think, Martin, if we were in and live with our solution at that bank, what would have happened? And I think we'd have probably being able to inform the bank or give them the insight that it was happening and it was coming, but the causes of it were caused, you know, way prior to actually happening. So it's interesting to run through that scenario. We do have another question here from Sander Cuadite. Hope I've said that correct. What do you think? What would be the key challenges for Treasury's teams implementing new LCR standards?
We answered it partially already. So the key challenges will be dedicate the costs or the resources for that. I mean, people yeah. enough. They will need supporting staff like compliance department and so on. So it will cost the bank simply. Yeah, this is the first challenge, and the second challenge will depend on how the new LCR standard will look like. If it's 7 days or 5 days, well, they will do, yeah. So the treasury manager will have to focus on shorter-term liquidity and will always bear in mind that there is a new ratio. But a retail bank will have no problem. Yeah, a retail bank, they will always fulfill, yeah.
Should be able to do that. And another question, so let's answer some of these, Martin. Neil McManus, does MREL and TLAC go far enough in supporting banks in time of liquidity stress?
Yeah, this MREL issue, it was a topic in Europe. The eligible liability purpose is different. It means that when a bank is in recovery or in the resolution regime, that there is capital enough which could be then withdrawn from standard assets, from standard liability. So the implication of this regulation is that the bank will have or do have already a little bit higher interest expenditures, I mean, because they have to issue uncovered bonds which are under some considerations transferable into equity and will be the last session. And if it will support the liquidity in the stress time, yeah, maybe, because they will not be due to pay it back. So whoever purchases an MREL bond will not have the opportunity to ask the bank, give me the money. Yeah. So it can support the liquidity, of course. Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Neil. Two questions less because we're almost running out of time. But let's talk about trends. You know, how do you see the future of liquidity management evolving over the next, 10, 20 years or so?
Well, the key trends are the state-of-the-art software solution. I mean, there's a huge development in fintech and we have to use it. Also, being a good treasurer in a bank, you need to use the state-of-the-art solutions like your company, for example, is providing it. Then dynamic management, real-time liquidity metrics. So I have to focus on solutions which provide us with scenario analysis, real-time data, good data structure. The collaboration between the fintech and banks, fintechs are here for us, for us bankers, so we have to use them. And then, well, I probably will have a question mark here. What about the news in new currencies and CBDCs? How it will impact on liquidity? That's questionable. So let us discuss it next time sometime. It's a new era we have to focus on.
Yeah. Brilliant. So last question is almost always my last question, but what's your key takeaways, or in fact, one key takeaway for the viewers today?
Regulatory compliance is one area we have discussed. So understanding how an ALM works in a bank, then implementation of state-of-the-art solution, implement somehow the dynamic real-time approach into the current liquidity management in the bank, then leveraging from data analytics, from data science is crucial, it's essential, and intraday liquidity is important. That's a key takeaway.
Got it. Key. Well, look, Martin, thank you very, very much for your time today. Unfortunately, we have run out of time. So thanks for joining us today and sharing your views. If anyone asks questions after the event, please feel free to do so, and we'll answer them then for you and later. So that concludes our latest Liquidity Talks live stream and podcast. We'll put the podcast on LinkedIn, Spotify, Apple Music, and other media outlets and streaming services very soon. Thank you very much for attending today. Look out for our next podcast coming up next month. My name is Neville Roberts. Thank you for tuning in and goodbye.
You've been listening to Liquidity Talks. Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on the latest developments and industry opinion from the world of treasury, liquidity, and risk.